We serve a great God, don't we? Amen. Oh, He is awesome. He is incredibly awesome. And we're going to visit some things that He said in the book of James this morning. But before we do, I just want to give you a word of introduction. About a couple weeks ago, Pastor Bill said that he was going to be out of town today. He was taking his daughter to college, and there are limited number of days that they can move the kids in and out, and they're going to tack on a vacation to East Texas and visit Valerie's mother. And so a couple weeks ago, he asked me to begin thinking about what I wanted to, if I would be willing to speak. And so I kind of zoned in on the book of James. And as I was reading through the book of James several times, I landed on this passage in James chapter 3. If you want to get your Bibles and go ahead and start finding your way there, that would be great. And we're going to look at this idea. Well, before I tell you what we're going to look at, I want to put a couple things on the screen and tell you a little story. We're going to talk a little bit about knockoffs for a minute. You guys know what knockoffs are, right? So, ladies, you go out and you I don't even know. I had a name brand of a purse in my mind and it went. Oh, there you go, that one. Yeah, because I know a lot about purses. But there's that one that cost. How much does that cost, Peter? Just give us a number. A lot. Okay, so, and then they have the knockoff version, which costs not a lot. So that's kind of how it works in technical terms. You can look that up on the internet later. So I'm thinking back in the days of old, before, I guess, that kind of knockoff. My brother had the art of the knockoff back in the 60s, or I guess it was the 70s. He would go, and you remember this brand right here? Give it a second. Joey's letting me, I asked Joey to let me do this, but my little clicker, it may take a couple times. Joey, you may have to scroll for me. I don't know. Give it a minute. Hold your mouth right. One more try. Yeah, wasn't it? Like that. And I told Joey, go get a cup of coffee right after this, so he's not even back there to hit the space bar. Would you hit the space bar for me, Sabrina? There we go. Does anybody remember the little guy? Izod. Well, back in the day, my brother was the knockoff king, and here's what he would do. He would go buy Izod socks, because they had little Izod emblem on each sock. And he would buy an $8, $7 Walmart pullover shirt, and he would carefully unsew the two Izod emblems off. He would get two Izod shirts for about less than 20 bucks, and I don't know what they were, but they were a lot more. But the idea of the knockoff says you got the real thing, then you got not quite so the real thing. So we're going to talk about some knockoffs, some almost. It's kind of like this, but it's not kind of like this. And maybe now that you push that button, maybe I actually have control. Do I? Joey, you have to walk me through. All right, give me the next screen here, if you would. So, anybody recognize this guy? Buzz Lightyear. Sometimes what we decide to do is that we see things on the internet or we see ideas and we think, I can do that. I can do that. I can say, take the idea of a Buzz Lightyear, and I can make my own Buzz Lightyear cake. And when I do stuff like that, it usually turns out like this. And so we have these knockoffs. We're not quite willing to pay the price or do the full deal. And then maybe around Easter time, you might see this on Pinterest, and you decide, I'm going to make these cute little eggs that look like they're just hatching out. And then you got this that looks like something came off a World War II submarine. And that's how my stuff usually turns out. And then you got the next one. You decide that I'm going to take some family photos. Anybody can take photos. It's easy. You just pick up a camera and you take a shot. And there's a reason why a lot of photographers really, really love to shoot fruit. Because usually you think it's going to turn out like this, but it ends up turning out like this. And you say, that's pretty much close enough. And then if you watch the cooking shows on TV, you think, you know, the real people, they can do it right. And they put up something like this, the nice pepper sliced up with the eggs in it. But when I try it, it always looks like this. Are you with me on this? People who are good at stuff, they make it look easier than it really is. And then this one actually looks like you could actually do it. It's the Cookie Monster cupcake. And you notice, it's just a cupcake with a cookie in it and a little bit of icing. And surely almost anybody could do that. And yet, many times it happens like this. So we have these issues, we have these things that are knockoffs, they're almost. And what we're going to talk about today is wisdom and wisdom. Okay, and that's what the New International Version puts it in quotes. So there's a godly wisdom and then there's the artificial wisdom. And while all the things we looked at earlier were things that you could eat and things that would be gone and if it's a tragedy, it's not that big a deal. Sometimes there are things that are permanent. And sometimes we make permanent decisions on a temporary state. So if you look at the next slide, I'm not recommending you get a tattoo. But if you decided you wanted this tattoo, as a matter of fact, I read a thing that said that in Washington, D.C., they were considering a law, I think it got beat down, saying that there had to be a 48-hour waiting period before you could get a tattoo. And the next photo kind of shows you why. Because you would hate to think that you were looking for A and you got some horrible, horrible substitute. So we're looking at James chapter 3. And sandwiched in the book of James between the discourse on the tongue is on fire and no man can tame the tongue and that great passage there. And then chapter 4 where it talks about where do your fights come? They come from your selfishness. And he drones on and talks about how selfish we are and how we just do stuff out of our selfish ambition. Right in between there, we have this idea, the comparison of the real wisdom and the knockoff. Satan's always in the knockoff business, you know? That's what he does. He puts up a product that looks almost as good as the real deal. He makes you think somehow that you're getting the real deal or you're getting a better deal because you're not paying as much. You're not investing as much. You don't have to like be all enslaved to the things of God and completely sold out to God. You can kind of do this and get just as good a result without all the investment. As you well know, that's not how it works. So let's begin looking in James chapter 3. We're going to read the entire passage, and then we're going to break it down. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Wisdom versus knockoff wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in quotations, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom, the true wisdom that comes from heaven, and he gives this list, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Let's pray together. God, we pray that as we break down this passage that you'll help us have insight into your wisdom, Lord. We'll grasp what it is. We will learn how to chase after it. And God, we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, the first thing we're going to look at, if you're taking notes or trying to take notes, we're going to look at two broad categories. The first one is outcomes. And normally you look at the process first and then you look at the outcome. But we're going to flip that on its head a little bit and we're going to look at the outcomes of true wisdom and knockoff wisdom. Okay, so first we're looking at verse 13. So go back there and we're going to see what the outcomes are of wisdom. Verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. So what we have in these outcomes, first of all, the outcomes we have are the things that we see. All right, we can see these things right here. We can see good deeds. Let him show it by his good life and by his deeds that are done in humility. A sense that I don't know it all, a sense that I need help, a sense that we're journeying together. That sometimes the wisdom of others needs to influence me to move back and forth. That says, I need somebody who knows the Scripture to help me out. It says it's humility, but then it ends up in good deeds and a good life. I think one of the most powerful things that we have to share the gospel is a good life. Meaning, yeah, times are hard, but I can still smile. I mean, look around you when you go out. The results of true godly wisdom growing in Him is going to be a good life, not a perfect life, but a good life that can smile, a good life that can look on the bright side, a good life that can trust in God, and it's going to be accompanied by good deeds. So that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You honor God if you have godly wisdom. You're going to see these results in your life, and it says it right here in verse 13. But let's look at the outcomes of the knockoff wisdom. And we're going to have to do that, we're going to swap over to verse 16. So if you turn there, look at verse 16. And what are the things we see when this knockoff wisdom comes to light at the end of the road? It says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So what are the outcomes here? We have disorder and we have every evil practice. So the fake wisdom, while it looks good at the beginning, it looks like it's going to turn out okay, always ends up, and it opens the door not just for a few bad things, but it opens the door for every evil practice. You've heard the phrase, the slippery slope, right? You open that door a little bit, the camel's nose comes under the tent, and next thing you know, the camel's in your tent. And there's a slippery slope, and it's saying that because of these two items that we'll explore a little bit more in a minute or so, the outcome is every evil practice enters because we pursue the things that bring on this quasi-wisdom, this faux wisdom, this knockoff wisdom. So those are the outcomes. So we've looked at the end, and we pretty much know that. I believe most everybody's in here is a believer. I hope that's the case, that you've trusted in Christ and you've seen that in your life. You've seen that when I trust God, when I do the right thing, when I gain God's wisdom, it works out good. Not always perfect, but it works out good. And when I don't, it works out bad. But this idea of wisdom, we're gaining wisdom, and we're going to look at how we gain it. So the outcomes are the things that we see. But the process is something that we don't actually see. And here's how it works. The title of the message is Harboring. And it's for this reason. And I want to help you envision this idea of harboring. So I want you to take your hands and like put your fingers together. And I'm a visual guy, and if you don't do it, I won't have my feelings hurt. It's okay. But I want you to do is I want you to take, and I want you to put your arms up like even so they're straight out like this. And I want you to envision you're standing on the beach with your feet in the water. Okay? And so what we have here is the harbor of your life. You look down, and what do you see? No, you don't see your knees because you're standing at the beach. You see water. And then you look up outside of your harbor. This is your harbor, by the way. And what do you see? You see more water. And so you can put your arms down. I just want you to visualize where I'm going with this idea of harboring. And so the idea of harboring is that we have control over our harbor. The word in the scriptures, we're going to read it again in a minute, is based on that. It's saying you can harbor things. It's a ship term. It's things come in and out, and you are your own harbor master. You decide what comes in and out of your harbor. And what needs to be in your harbor are things that are safe, and they bring provision. That's pretty much what a harbor's about. You're bringing in things that you need. You're bringing in goods and productive things that you need. But you also have to keep out the things that are going to cause harm. So your harbor needs to be have things and not have things. So the outcomes are the things that we see. But wisdom starts with the things that we do not see. And we'll look at verse 17. The real wisdom has these things that you can't really see, but they're in the harbor of your mind. So verse 17 with me, if you will, please. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to read the rest of the list. We're going to spend most of our time on this section on the word pure. So how do you know if something is pure? What is in something that's pure? Only the thing that you call it. So if you have pure gold, what do you have? If you have pure olive oil, what do you have? So the pure wisdom comes, and it's first of all pure. Your harbor The harbor of your mind needs to be pure. And so how much of the outside world of the sinful things do we need to have in our minds? We need to have a zero tolerance for things that are sinful, things that are impure. And purity is defined not by what it is, but it's defined by what's not in there. When you say this is pure, what you're saying is there's nothing else in there except this one thing. And wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's all about God. It's all about who He is. It's about what He's doing. It's about His perfection. It's about these good things. And wisdom is going to be focused on Him at the center. We read on. And then it's peace-loving. You can't see that, can you? I mean, you can see the result of someone being peace-loving, but loving peace is the internal thing, right? Considerate. Submissive. Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And so what we have is we have this wisdom, the outcomes of wisdom. There's the good outcome of real wisdom that starts with this harboring of these good thoughts and this exclusion of bad thoughts as much as is possible in your life. And so then we get to come to the last part, which is this. Knock off wisdom. There are things that go on in your harbor that cause the results we already looked at. So go back to verse 14 and 15. And here's where the word kicks in, the word harbor. It's your harbor. You're the harbor master. You decide what stays in and what goes out. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Let's break that down a little bit. So what we have is this word that is envy is the first word. And the definition I found for envy that fits this the most is says that envy is a feeling of discontent with regards to another person's advantages, successes, or possessions. So it's this discontented feeling that we have sometimes when we see other people do well and we wish that we did well like them. So that's one definition. We can be envious of other people's things. We can be envious of other person's positions, their power, their station in life. You can be envious of a lot of different things and means we're discontented. The Scriptures teach us we're supposed to be contented in all things. Paul said this. He said, I've learned to be contented in every circumstance. Me? Not so much yet. I'm working on it. But the idea is to be contented. But if we hold on to these thoughts of envy, then what's going to happen is we're going to be discontented. So there's envy and ambition. But there's another type of envy I want to warn you about not to let in your harbor. There's the envy of your past. You know, I'm a empty nester. And I got a closet full of great photos of all my kids growing up. And you know how often I look at those? Not very often. For me, it's wonderful, but it's painful. Why? Because I can begin to envy the past. Man, that was a great time. Man, that was a great moment. I loved when my kids were around, and I did. But we can choose to bring things in that are going to cause us to be envious not only of what other people have, but we can be envious of what we had before. I used to have this better relationship. I used to have this better job. I used to have this. I used to have that. And we can work ourselves into this envy. And envy is going to be natural. Somebody has something, you're going to think, oh, that's nice. I'd like to have it. And envy is pretty much universal because advertising works. Put it on a billboard. You pick it up, you didn't know you needed it till you saw it. I gotta have that. I need three. So envy is natural, but this passage actually puts some qualifiers in here. It says bitter envy. That envy that first says, oh, I would like to have that. That's a good thing. And then you start saying, I gotta have it. And it wells up in your stomach and it becomes this thing that will open the door for all kinds of evil. Remember what we said in the Scriptures earlier. So we have this bitter envy and then we have a selfish ambition. And listen what the Scriptures say about these two things here. And I found it odd, and I had to ponder it for a while to grasp it. It says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. When's the last time you heard somebody come up and say, I got bitter envy, let me tell you. I'm excited about it. And I've got selfish ambition. Let me tell you how much this is a wonderful thing. And you need to have bitter envy too. Let's have a class to learn how to be more bitter and more envious. Why is the warning here? Don't boast about it. Because what we do is we relabel the ships that come into our harbor. And it comes in with the idea of envy. But then the enemy doesn't want us to have bitter envy. So he relabels that a little bit. So instead of envy, we say this is the American dream. Oh, what? The American dream, that's different. So we put a different label on it, and all of a sudden it sounds good, and we got this ship sitting in our harbor that causes these feelings. We're saying, but it's the American dream, and I'm a patriot, I'm an American, and we start rationalizing, and we start boasting about it. But we've relabeled it from what God says it is, and it's bitter envy and selfish ambition. Anything wrong with ambition? I want to get a good job. No. Anything wrong with wanting to make a little more money? I don't think there is. But chapter 4, you can read it when you get home, talks about why don't you have good stuff? Because you don't ask. And when you ask, it's because you're selfish. And so the qualifier here in that verse says bitter envy and selfish ambition. It's all about me. And God says, no, it's all about me. And the purity goes away when we slap different labels on these things. We're saying, I'm just a hard worker. And we put different words on it. All the while we retain the sinful element of that. And for almost every good characteristic, it can be twisted and it can be turned into something else. So bitter envy and selfish ambition, we relabel them and we invite them in our harbor and we let these thoughts roll around. And what happens is every kind of evil thing happens and rolls out of that. And then the other thing it warns us that we might deny these that we have these at all. Well, we need to own up to the fact that we're all selfish. We all have selfish ambition, and we need to own it and put that label on it and be aware that that comes up natural every day. It does for me. And when I see things, nice things, I want them. And that's natural. So don't deny the fact that our carnal nature is about us, but we have to deny ourselves every day and follow Christ. And then we can push those ships out of the harbor. And they might pass by, and we might see them. And they might roll through our harbor. We say, wait a minute, I can't spend my time on that. I've got to spend my time on these good things so I have the good outcome that God would desire. And so when we harbor these things in our heart, again, what it says in verse 15, if you're still there with me, such wisdom, it does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. How does that work? It works like this. We let the devil have a foothold. We let the camel's nose under the tent. And all of a sudden, things get a little bit rocky. And we have a little bit of disorder. And we don't follow God's processes anymore. We're busy thinking about what we want and what we need. And we start going after that. And maybe even under the guise of that this is good. God wants this for me. I like this. God must like it. We kind of do that little thing. And then, before we know it, we harbor these things in our heart. And then we turn around, and without meaning to, all evil practices come out. And then we're willing to lie, cheat, steal, and burn your house down so that we can get the things that we think God wants us to have. Because God will be happy with that. I mean, that doesn't make sense when I say it, does it? But that's how it works out in practice, is that we start moving ahead and we start going, well, I want this thing, and I've been praying about it, and I don't recognize it as selfish ambition or envy. And I start pursuing it, whether it's a position or whether it's money or whether it's something from the past. And I pursue it so strongly that I forget that there's a whole lot of process that God wants. You got to treat people right. You got to do the right thing. And we'll lie, cheat, steal, and burn people's houses down so that we can get what we want because God's in it. And then we always wake up and go, what did I do at some point? So what are you harboring in your life? What are you harboring? Have you got the real deal going on? Have you got the real wisdom that comes from God that's peaceful, that's loving, that's encouraging, that's all these things? And you're seeing those outcomes? If you're not seeing those kind of outcomes in your life and you're not feeling those kind of outcomes and you have this angst going on, you have this disorder, then you need to examine what's in your harbor. And the Scriptures teach us clearly, don't harbor these things in your life because they will come out down the road. You know what comes out of your life when pressure comes on it? Whatever's inside. Whatever's in your harbor, those are the things that come out when you're under pressure. You see people sometimes, and hopefully this is you, and surely you've had this, where great pressure comes your way and you handle it really well. You know, it's like, all right. And then other times, maybe a little bit of pressure comes, and you do things you're embarrassed of. You say things you wish you hadn't said. Can I get a witness? Anybody? That's me. You go, oh. And what happens is, what comes out is what's in your harbor, whatever you're harboring. If you take a balloon and you fill it up and you pop it, what comes out? Whatever you filled it up with. Whether it's water or air or shaving cream, that's what comes out when the pressure comes. True wisdom. One more time, we're going to close here. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and it is sincere. I'm praying that you have that kind of wisdom in your life. And if you're not, you'll make the adjustments on the harbor side so that it can be more like that today. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, trying to have these good thoughts without your presence in our life, Lord, is useless and futile. So we thank you for the salvation that comes with Christ, the power of Christ in us that causes us to be able to live out the truths we find here. And Lord, as we examine the things that are in our harbor today, as we examine the thoughts that run by our eyes and our minds the most, God, we pray that you'll give us wisdom to put correct labels on those thoughts. Lord, you'll give us the wisdom to push things out that need to be pushed out. And God, we will embrace the wonderful things that you give us, Lord, and the ministry opportunities we have. Lord, that we will think in a way that brings honor to you. Lord, help us to walk in the way of true wisdom and not the knockoff brand. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.